Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
And welcome back, everybody, for another week of the Nate Darling Show. With me, as always, is my friend, the lovely and talented Larry Mead.
Hi!
And the lovely and talented Mel Gelbart.
Welcome back.
And we have a guest, our very first guest on the show. Actually, Mel was a guest, but since you're now one of the regular parts of the show, I'm not counting.
I don't count as a guest anymore.
No, because you never actually guested on the show. You sat in for Larry, and then we kept you on at this highly lucrative position that pays absolutely nothing. With us is Becca Costello.
Hello.
Hey, Becca.
Hi, Becca.
Hi, Becca.
So wait, does this mean that I'm going to end up like staying on now as like every guest? Pretty soon you'll have like
a whole room full of people.
Yeah.
It'll be like a chorus.
Yeah. Or a cult.
It could.
Whoa, let's start a cult. I've always wanted to.
If we start a cult that way, you have to buy me a new board because I only have 4 mic inputs. So we've reached our maximum here.
I have a microphone for my Wii. Does that count?
It does not, because your Wii does not plug into the audio board.
It'll be a very small cult.
It will be.
We could just start killing people off quick.
Or an exclusive cult.
This is exactly what it's like, by the way. Becca's over there trying to get a word out. This is exactly what it's like every week.
I'm new to this like newfangled, you know, audio technology. I almost called it radio, and I think that's really incorrect. But I was going to say that cults are very lucrative, so you could probably afford a larger soundboard as soon as you got a few followers.
That's a good idea.
It is a good idea.
If you'd like to become a member of our cult, please email us at natedarlingshow@rocketmail.com. Thank you.
There
did
you
I
go.
Mess that up?
No, you got it.
Right?
Yes. You got it. He's got the email address right.
I'm the official secretary of our cult.
There you go. I also, for our cult followers that we do have, and we do have a very loyal following, people really like the show. I know it's amazing. If you like the show, we're going to ask 2 things of you, just 2 things.
Or dos in Spanish.
We do this for free. You can download it for free from iTunes. You can download it for free or stream it on Podbean, natedarlingshow.podbean.com. Here are the 2 things that we ask. 1, please tell a friend about us, because spread us around to your friends. We like that. We like to make new friends. And the second thing you can do to help us out on the show is go to iTunes and write a review of the show.
Oh, yeah, do that.
Because it'll take like 5 minutes, and it'll be really awesome for us, too.
Can I just say it's really fun? If you go to iTunes, you can write in my name, and it comes up.
Yeah,
so I
did it 10 times in a row because I thought it was really cool. And then I did Kelly Clarkson. It made my night.
It's a different category. And hopefully we'll be able to get Mel in there, too. I updated it, so we'll see how long that takes. But keep in mind, it took them 10 days to get the show online for the first show, so don't get too excited searching for your name just yet, Mel. Anyway.
Their new office is going to be a UFO in Cupertino.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The plans. And they basically told the city of Cupertino, like, you have to let us build this or we're going to leave. So they had to say yes. It literally is going to be this huge UFO with this thing. It's going to be like a modern version of the Pentagon.
It's fair because they actually have more money than the United States government. Mm-hmm.
So now since we're sort of like their staff, do we get to go hang out there?
Oh, I've been there before. A friend of mine works there.
Let's go.
Hi, Greg Gilman.
Yes, hello, Greg Gilman. Here's a fun thing about iTunes that I was not aware of. They don't actually keep track of how many people download our show.
They don't?
No, you have to do that through your other site. Basically, all iTunes is sort of a marketplace where you can find it's sort of like Denio's Farmer's Market.
Oh, I've wanted to go there.
There's nothing really there until the vendors come in and put stuff there. But Denio's doesn't necessarily keep track of how much you make as a vendor. You have to do that yourself in another way.
So that's a really good analogy, by the way.
Thanks. I try to be smart. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Hey, on my way to work this morning, just a random thing I saw that sort of amused me that I wanted to get your reaction on. It was a fellow biking somewhere, dressed very nattily. He was wearing khakis, a burgundy dress shirt. He was riding a bike, and he was smoking a Tipperillo cigar.
Did you say he was dressed nattily?
He was.
What does that mean?
Very natty.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Sort of sharp and stylish.
Very spiffy.
I've never heard that expression before.
I think it's kind of a vintage expression.
Ooh, like old-timey?
Yeah.
Like anyone who would be smoking a Tipperillo cigar on a bike.
Greg Sabin is natty.
I was just going to say Greg Sabin.
Greg Sabin is, yes, absolutely.
Oh, we already had a Greg Sabin show. Greg Sabin, where are you?
I was in Roseville, and I drove by the Roseville Auto Mall, and who greeted me to the city of Roseville? Newton Carruthers.
Yes,
a.k.a. Greg Sabin.
I see Newton Carruthers on that huge lit-up board that's kind of by the Arden Cal Expo on 80. Like, every night when I'm driving home. Newton Carruthers,
it's
giant.
Like, wow, hi.
He is everywhere. He's almost like my cat.
He's
here.
A big deal.
My cat, Zippy, has decided to join the show because there's people here, and he said, I want to come out and hang out. So I can't leave my woodchuck hard cider sitting on the floor because he'll knock it over because he doesn't know any better. So
Newton
thanks,
Carruthers would not knock over your beer.
He would not. He's actually, Greg is a beer connoisseur. As well as it. God damn it. We can't do a Greg Sabin show again.
He's the new Mormons, because for a while, every show we talked about Mormons. Now we've evolved to Greg Sabin.
I wonder if Greg wears special underwear. Anyway, I'm tying together the Mormons and Greg. Nothing? Nothing? You're going to leave me hanging there?
Uh-huh.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Awesome. You guys are awesome. Some of the stuff going on this week. There was an online movement to have Sesame Street give Bert and Ernie a gay wedding.
Yes.
Sesame Street producers said no, they're not going to do that. And they issued a statement saying that Bert and Ernie are best friends. They're created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with those who are different from themselves, even though they are identified as male characters and possess many human traits and characteristics. They do remain puppets and do not have sexual orientation.
All I'm going to say is that denial is not a river in Egypt.
Well, maybe so, but they're...
those who protest too much.
They're still just puppets.
They're puppets. Puppets. I think that's people with their own agenda, and I think it's silly.
That two dudes living together in New York City could be a gay couple.
They're puppets.
They're Muppets.
Now, if they wanted to further that agenda, as it were, and bring on Elton John and his partner, I think that would be awesome.
Yep.
If they wanted to have a gay couple on, that's fine. But I don't think making the puppets... I just think that's silly. They're puppets, and I just think
Puppets deserve marriage equality?
Now you're being silly. Now you're just trivializing your own cause.
No.
You are.
But Sesame Street is an agenda.
It
was created by very progressive people that wanted a way to find into middle Americans' home to teach racial tolerance, racial inclusion, and gender inclusion.
Sure.
And that's an agenda, so why stop at that agenda but not continue it to other things? South Africa has an HIV-positive puppet, so I think there already are agendas.
That guy's got to be delightful.
It's a woman. It's a girl. I forget her name.
Hi, I'm HIV-positive puppet.
I know, when they first said that, I actually thought it was a joke. Like, I think it's really great, but I was like, how are they going to handle that?
I think we should have, like, gonorrhea puppet.
Does anybody watch Boardwalk Empire in this room? Anybody?
No.
Sort of.
They had a scene from season one. I'm rewatching season one because it's on HBO. And they had one scene with a guy getting treated for that. And I almost fell off the couch cringing. Because
treated for gonorrhea?
Yeah. Well, ooh. It was in the 20s because what they did was they took this large bore stainless steel or metal implement and inserted it into the urethra.
Right down the penis.
Yes. Well,
that's called sounding.
No, not in the 20s. It wasn't. No. There was a sound, but it wasn't exactly the hum of a tuning fork. It was a sound of a guy screaming from pain.
That's really uncomfortable.
I would imagine it was. So, yeah, I literally curled up in the fetal position and almost fell off my couch.
What would gonorrhea what would happen if you didn't treat gonorrhea?
I don't know. Mel, do you know?
Well, besides the fact that you would spread it and your partner, I guess, could be rendered sterile, among other things, a female.
And you would be.
And I think it's probably, I would assume, pretty uncomfortable, frankly.
Mm. Is it?
From the textbooks, I believe there's an uncomfortable amount of discharge that comes with that.
Ew, I don't like that word.
Well, you asked.
It would be moist and itchy and sticky and ouchy.
You don't want that.
I think instead of discharge, we should use the word filling.
creamy filling would come out.
Exactly.
Oh, Lord.
It's less nauseating.
It would be like a warm Twinkie left in the sun.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh,
guys.
Yeah.
Is it everything you thought it would be?
And more.
It is. Moving on, Corey Feldman was in the news this past week. He sat down for an interview with Nightline, and he made some heartbreaking allegations about pedophilia being the number one problem facing child actors in Hollywood, including claiming its impact on his late friend Corey Haim's addictions. He said there's one person to blame for the death of Corey Haim, and that person happens to be a Hollywood mogul. And that person needs to be exposed. But unfortunately, I can't be the one to do it. So,
what?
Yeah, I don't...
sound like a contract?
It's sort of a puss move, I think, and a way to get on TV without actually having to do anything or say anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, how relevant is Corey Feldman, really? I mean, TMZ will have a shot of Corey Feldman. They'll go to it for 5 seconds, and then they'll go to something else. It's a joke. TMZ has made a joke of Corey Feldman. TMZ is the same group that will go to the airport and talk to anybody who's been in any show, any movie, or any reality thing for 10 seconds. And they're like, hey, here's what's Corey Feldman. Ah, let's go to something else.
I think they just have a permanent office at the Burbank airport.
Fair. Have you run into them there?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, literally, there's a place where I literally think they stand all the time.
It's like a skycap thing?
Yeah, it's like if you've been to the Burbank Airport, when you're walking and follow the big red carpet, that's nice. Only makes sense if you've been there, and you make the curve right where the security checkpoint is on the left side, there's always people sort of waiting there. I might have pretended to be Ross the intern at one point. Just
There is a strong resemblance.
I know.
And now that you're on iTunes.
I'm a pretty big deal. I could be. You can't see me, so maybe I am Ross the intern.
And it back to Corey Haim, by the way. It also, while if something did happen, and I'm not saying it didn't happen to Corey Haim, and it's horrible and tragic, and I'm sorry he didn't get the help he needed, it bothers me hugely when people say, for example, there's one person to blame. The person to blame for Corey Haim's death is Corey Haim. At some point, you have to take some responsibility for yourself, unless the guy shot him in the face with a gun.
Well, to be fair, he said Corey Haim's addictions. Corey Haim actually died of the flu. Technically, that was the cause of death. So uh-huh. I'm just clarifying. Your point, completely valid.
Well, then the flu is to blame.
The flu is what claimed Corey Haim.
Yeah.
In really. Third or fourth grade, I got in trouble because, do you remember back like when 900 numbers first started?
Yeah.
And Corey and the two Coreys had like a 976 number.
Oh, Lord.
Where it was literally called like 976 call Corey or something. And I don't know why I did it, but I did it. I was just going to hang up really quick. I don't know why I did it.
But you got sucked in.
But my sister picked up the other line. Actually, like, it, so my parents got charged for like a minute. And all I remember hearing is like, I remember hearing it was the two of them record. I don't know what I thought it was going to be. But
they stay
like,
on the line all the time and they're really there to talk to just you.
Yeah, but it was just a recording of them, but I still remember. So I had to tell my parents. I was so scared to tell my parents. And they're like, well, you shouldn't do that. I'm like, okay.
I called a sex party line from a school phone in high school.
Nice.
Wow.
How did that go?
Oh, it was fascinating. And they didn't know it was me. I mean, they couldn't have known who had gotten into that room to use the phone. And I was on there for about 20 minutes. I can't imagine what the bill was.
What?
I bet a teacher got fired like 3 months later that you don't know about. Right now, she's still out there cursing.
Why are they leading the janitor out in handcuffs? What's going on? So let me ask this. 20 minutes.
I mostly just listened.
Mostly?
Mostly. What else were you doing while you were listening?
I don't remember.
Okay. Mel's dad listens to the show.
So it's awkward.
Well, my dad listens to the show too, and he told me to not be so dirty, and I said, forget about it.
Did you say?
I said, I'm not doing a show for you. Oddly enough, men in their 60s are not our key demographic for what we do.
Who is my key demographic?
What is our key? Anybody with a sense of humor. You know, honestly, we have a lot of female. I've had a lot of females who are really super into the show, which is odd because we can get a little bit on the crazy side with what we talk about.
Maybe we're like the modern version of The View.
And I'm hoping our demographic tonight is South Korea because my friend Ji Yang Shin is listening from South Korea potentially.
We're going international.
Yeah.
We're a pretty big deal.
We are. You can listen to us anywhere where you have internet connections.
That can be in outer space. Just saying.
It could be. They could be downloading us on the International Space Station right now. They're on episode 4. So they haven't really figured
Although
it out
now,
yet.
Because Obama canceled our space program, we don't have one, and so we have to rely on the Russians.
Oh, we're going to have to learn how to speak Russian.
And now Larry hates on Obama.
No, because I like Russian, so that's a good thing. Ooh, Slavije, everyone listening in Russia. Yara, yasushayu, program. Thank you.
Oh, dear Lord.
Spasiba. I said hello. Thank you for listening to our program. Bye.
All right. Well, now that we've gone international, in San Francisco, an international group of hackers threatened to wage cyber war against BART. I don't know if I should be afraid or amused at this. International hackers waging a cyber war against a train.
Here's the thing, like, so I'm conflicted because I don't think, like, as a general rule, shutting down communication systems is a good idea. Because let's say, here's my thing. What happened if there was an emergency? Like, I'm imagining, like, let's say Mel and I are on the train and Mel has a medical emergency and I try to call 911, but I can't because they shut it down. That's bad. But it's not public airspace. BART controls that space and companies pay for the right to broadcast their signal down there. And so, like, does it make sense? Now, they're also dealing it with in London because London, the threats they were crazy. They were going to burn down Olympic sites for 2012 and all that kind of stuff. And so I feel really
But don't they have a system in place where they have an internal system if there's an emergency?
Yeah, there are phones on the train. There are phones in the station.
Yeah, but like your own cell phone. So like let's say, and especially given the situation, if like a protest really did erupt and you had a call in one, your phone wouldn't have been able to dial out.
Well.
I just think it's funny, like, not funny, but on the BART webpage, like the day before, they're like, we're anticipating massive protests. Don't write us tomorrow. Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, the public information officer who, like, sat down and was like, how am I going to write this press release? Like,
keep it simple.
That is awesome. It makes me, and people have been complaining about this, and I'm going to leave local comedian Keith Lowell Jensen off this list because he complains the loudest and the longest. Did I say that? Yeah, Keith has been complaining about BART and shutting down communications and stuff. So, hi, Keith. Because it stifles protest and free speech. And
which is a very valid argument.
It is, except in the 60s, nobody had a cell phone and there were plenty of protests all over San Francisco. They managed.
Maybe they had a very, like, secret beeper system back then.
No beepers. No beepers in the 60s, Larry.
Were in the Sunflowers.
There was a payphone on every corner, though. Because the drug dealers hadn't taken them over. I'm just saying, you can go protest without your cell phone. You can leave your cell phone at home the whole day and go about your business.
Can you check yourself in at protest now?
I'm sure you can.
Like, if I'm burning a bank in protest, do I stop on Facebook and, like, check in, Burning Bank of America four other friends?
Well, you could actually create a location burning President Obama in effigy.
Oh, that makes me nervous. Let's not say that.
Well, that's a protest. Burning somebody in effigy is a protest.
The feds are now going to be here next
week. I was just
week.
About to say, we're on a list. Like, it immediately happened.
I know. I don't want to lose my job.
That used to happen when I worked at the mental hospital. Every once in a while, one of the mental patients would make a threat. They were going to kill the governor or something. And federal agents would show up. And I'm like, really? It's a schizophrenic guy. But okay, do your job.
Well, I'm not making a threat. I'm making an example. Not like, I'm making an example. I'm just making an example.
It just makes me nervous somewhere there's a transcript being recorded where it's going to have you saying that.
Okay, fine. Okay, so.
And gay puppets, all in the same transcript.
Oh, the gay puppets. We're burning gay puppets in effigy.
That's more acceptable.
You can actually create that event on Foursquare and on the Facebook places, and you can check in there, and then people can start searching for that, and you could literally create something that didn't exist 2 seconds ago and have a huge check-in at a place.
Awesome.
And then you could be the mayor of burning puppets in effigy.
You could be the mayor of burning gay puppets in effigy.
I just had an amazing idea. We need to create phantom flash mobs where you actually don't go, but I create a random Facebook event, like checked in at like flash mob on K Street, and everyone just checks in, but no one goes.
And then we round the people that show up for a flash mob up and bust them out of town.
Ooh, that's an idea.
Because I
just like it. It's very, like, conceptual.
I like it because I hate flash mobs.
They're overdone now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, stop it. You know what? Take your flash mob and go and do the wave at a baseball stadium.
I think it was last year, second Saturday. Maybe the year. I think it was last year. What cracked me up is, like, you guys know how between, like, J and K gets really crowded. There were three groups trying to do a flash mob at the same time.
Oh, awesome.
And it was really, like, wow. I like when they had the one in Roseville.
At the mall.
And the,
yeah.
Shut down. And the wall, like, the floor supposedly started shaking.
Well, I thought the whole point of a flash mob was you weren't supposed to, like, advertise and have everybody in their mall and be there to watch. But like with anything else, it gets so big and now everybody wants to do it and everybody wants to be a part of it and it loses its coolness.
How many schools this year, like their opening assembly is going to be a flash mob because the teachers think it's going to be the way to be cool and relate to students. It's like the new, like, instead of teaching history, I'm going to rap history because that's what the kids need to learn. That's the teachers are going to do flash mobs to be cool and hip.
To go back, for anybody who isn't from the Sacramento area, because we have a lot of listeners, not only internationally, but around the country, the mall in Roseville, California, which is a suburb here, there was a huge fire last October, and the mall was closed for a fair period of time, and then parts of it reopened, And when most of it had reopened for Christmas shopping, someone decided it would be really cool to have a flash mob there. And they let everybody know that there was going to be a flash mob, and they all showed up and they started dancing like jackasses. And then the upper level of the mall that they were on started to move to the beat of the music. And it was not a party, it was an evacuation. So the mall that had been decimated by this fire in a down economy then had to shut down on a prime shopping night a little bit before Christmas because someone thought it would be really fucking cool to have a flash mob. Jackasses.
Do you know what's one cool reason to live in Roseville?
No.
Because can't think of one.
I can. Well, two. There's actually a Dave and Buster's up there, so that's fun.
Okay.
And then two, if you live in the city of Roseville, Roseville has been in every Rose Parade in history because any town with the name Rose, or any town with the name Rose in it, and California gets to be in the Rose Parade, so they have an entry every year. You can apply to the lottery and you can get picked to represent Roseville in the Rose Bowl Parade.
I'm still not one over.
I think I'm one of the only people in the world. Like, I love parades. How fun would it be to ride on a Rose Parade and wave at everybody?
I know, it's shocking that
Larry.
It's shocking that, yeah, that Larry loves parades.
It's a cliche.
I actually hate parades, but I do like the Rose Parade.
Becca, do you like parades?
I love parades.
Thank you.
Well,
I like you a lot.
Also, is Denio's in Roseville? Denio's is coming up the second time this show, but Denio's is awesome.
I've never been.
Yes.
You should go. It is and I'm not going to say anything bad about Denio's because they are an advertiser at my main source of work. So I've been to Denio's. It's fun.
I like their song, their commercial.
I actually had pictures, and I used this for a show that I did at the Comedy Spot a while ago called Talking Shit. And it was, they have half mannequins. And they sell jeans because everybody's got a booth. And they had mannequins with giant booties, with giant booty jeans on them. So
that's
just
hot.
Yeah, going to Denio's, even if you don't buy anything, it's just going and walking around, it is incredible. It's like going to another world, really.
I need to go. I passed on the train, so I finally know where it is. But I really do need to go.
You know what else they have? Like, besides like really nice cheap produce, they also have, like, for some reason, there are many booths there that sell Scarface memorabilia, and there is so much of it that you could do, like, your whole room. Like, they have Scarface bedding and, like, all these, like, artist renderings of Al Pacino, right? And just, like, furnishing, like, so much Scarface stuff. I've never seen
That's
so much.
Crazy.
So if you ever wanted a Scarface room in your house, go to Denio's.
Wow.
I'm fascinated.
I've seen that much Scarface stuff because I went to college with some Italian guys and they were really into it.
Was that like their dorm room? Was like Scarface dorm
yes.
room?
Maybe they moved to Roseville.
Maybe.
Started a business at Denio's.
So if you're a Scarface fan, it's another reason to love Roseville.
Yeah. We should get sponsored by like the Roseville Convention and Visitors Bureau.
We should get sponsored by Fountains and then we'd be making some bank around
yeah.
here.
Yeah. They do have Fountains is fun. They have those like fun people outside and there's a Dave and Buster's there.
I've never been to Dave and Buster's.
Never?
No.
There's skee ball.
You need to go on Tuesday nights or when it's everything's half off, all the games are half off.
Ooh.
So you can win a really good prize.
Because it's kind of expensive, but it's super fun.
Yeah, no, we need to go to half off night then because I'm a little bit broke, but that sounds fun.
All right, we're doing an outing to a Denio's followed by Dave and Buster's.
Yes.
And then to the Yard House, which is new in Roseville. It's got 120 beers on tap. They're sort of a franchise around. I've been to one in Pasadena
and
Palm Desert, but that's another one you have to hit during happy hour.
And you're all invited. We'll see you there.
Yes.
Considering none of us live in Roseville,
let's have
a
flash
mob. We know a lot about Roseville.
We really do. Put
that's
the four
impressive.
Of us together and like, yeah.
All right, now speaking of Roseville.
Maybe we'll do a remote one day. Sorry.
I got my bedroom furniture at West Elm, which is in the Fountains.
I bought my sofa in Roseville.
Well, some people are fancy, aren't they?
Yes.
I bought my couch at IKEA, as people will remember from the open of the show. All right. Well, it's time for one of my favorite segments because it's the only segment that we actually have. It's called, you remember what it's called?
Cool.
A.
Tool.
Oh. Anyway, my friend John hates it when we do that. He's like, you need to do something better for that. And I'm like, no. Okay, cool or tool? The first nominee, and you can weigh in on this, Becca, too.
Yay.
The people who had an online petition for Bert and Ernie to get married, cool or tool? Mel, why don't you start us off?
Tool. That's all I'm going to say about that. I think it's stupid.
Larry?
I'm going to say cool, but not
well,
for,
you're wrong.
For this reason, is that Sesame Street is funded by the people because it is a show on public broadcasting. They get the majority of their funding through Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I think that as Americans, you have the right to petition. So I'm going to say cool. I will not comment on the rightness or wrongness of it, even though it's totally right.
That's fair. Becca, you got an opinion on this? Cool or tool?
See, I'm right in between because I respect your respect for the petitioning process, but I also agree with the show's decision not to make us think about Ernie and Bert doing it.
There we go.
I kind of like that they're on the DL. I think that should be their angle, like Bert and Ernie on the DL. And then eventually, like, they're going to have a girlfriend. They're going to see the Oprah show that caused every girl in the country to think her husband or boyfriend was living on the DL. That's what I'm going with now.
Okay, I'm going to go with Mel on this. I'm going to go tool because I think it really diminishes kind of what the group is really going for, which is recognition of gay marriage as being mainstream accepted and normal, which I agree it should be. I think to go and make a big deal that puppets should be gay married, I think it just diminishes that. That's my opinion. So
puppets deserve rights.
And if you want gay puppets, go see Avenue Q. Because they've got gay puppets.
All right, next up.
I'm going to say one more thing about Bert and Ernie. Okay, go on. If you ever want to see something disturbing, just Google Bert and Ernie naughty things. There's a whole group of people, and it's not just Bert and Ernie. There's a whole, like, subgroup of, I think there are people, like, in my mind, people are into, like, animime and, like, science fiction. I just loop it all together. Have, like, an underground world. Like, Barbie dolls, you know, there's, like, a whole, like, they have conventions where people get together and they do, like, S&M things with Barbie. Learned about it in college. There's people that do that with Bert Ernie, and you can see people have way too much time in their hands.
What did you major in that you learned about that in college?
It was in a women's sociology class.
Wow.
We learned about how people look at gender, how some people try to reclaim or redefine gender roles by doing things like that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Up next in Cooler Tool, Corey Feldman for coming out and saying, look, there's one guy who needs to be outed, but I'm not going to do it. Larry, you want to start this out?
Yeah. I'm going to say tool, I guess.
There's a conviction.
I mean,
I'm
it's hard
for
me to say Corey Feldman and cool in the same sentence. So the default answer for me is tool.
Okay. Mel?
Yeah, I think after like his youth, everything he does is tool. I've seen all his reality shows and there's nothing cool about him. He's a douchebag. He's an idiot. I think he was looking for a few last seconds of his 5 minutes and he's a tool and a douchebag. He gets double billing.
Becca?
I'm going to go with tool also, although I feel like I should make a disclaimer or a confession and just say that I've written 2 fan letters in my life. They were both before I was 10 years old, and one was to Corey Feldman.
Well, that's fair.
Wow. Well, back
Goonies
then, he
era.
Was awesome.
I had a big crush on him during the Goonies. Yeah, so now I feel like I can't just be all, oh, yeah, he's a tool, and, like, someone would find out.
Well, who was the other one to?
Yeah.
The other one was to Ricky Schroeder
nice.
On Silver Spoons when I was 8. And my best friend Tracy and I, in 4th grade, we both wrote letters to Ricky Schroeder. And somehow in our minds, we were just the center of our 4th grade universe. So we basically wrote him letters saying, which one of us are you going to pick?
Nice.
You know? Yeah. Like,
nice.
We never heard back.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Have you guys written fan letters?
I did. I wrote one to a baseball player when I was about 8 years old.
Larry? Celine Dion?
I did write a letter to Celine Dion.
Oh, nice call.
And the sad thing is I think I was like 23. So I heard, and I don't know how true this is, but I heard like every Monday she has people bring in like a sample, like a bowl of letters that people wrote, and she picks out some and personally responds to them. So I was convinced that I was going to get picked and she was going to write me back. I was actually worried if it was going to be in French or English.
That is the crazy. That would be the craziest diva move ever if that actually were true.
It might be.
Bring me a bowl with my letters. I should pick one to answer. That is craziness.
It would be pretty. I've tweeted people like, I really like you. So I don't know if that counts as a
fan. Oh, yeah. How's your relationship with Jennifer Grey?
It's going really well. Jennifer Grey and I are having a very sustained relationship.
I'm going to finish this off. Corey Feldman, I'm going to, and I know this is a tough one, I'm going to go tool on this because, dude, at this point, what are you wearing? You think this guy is going to keep you from that big break, that big comeback? Dude, come out. If this guy is molesting kids to the level that you're saying and put your best friend in a situation.
And he's still out there in the business.
Right, and is yeah, still out there. Come out and out the motherfucker and do it right. Otherwise, you're a giant pussy. So stop it, you gigantic fucking tool. Wow. Can anybody tell that Beck is way nicer than I am?
Is it possible that Corey wanted... No. Okay, for a second in my head, I was thinking that he wanted to say it and the network wouldn't let him because they were afraid of lawsuits. But he could easily go to some other medium, right?
No, and it actually said the quote is exactly... find the quote here because I had it. Happens to be a Hollywood mogul, and that person needs to be exposed, but unfortunately, I can't be the one to do it.
Well, maybe okay. It's because he...
Because trust me, if he's making the claim, it's not the network. They'd be happy, to have that on their show.
Unless they...
Sorry, Corey,
they settled out of court long ago, and he settled out of confidentiality.
That's the only thing that would
that's
hold it
my
up.
The way I hear that is him saying I can't.
But he could have actually said that.
Right, but here's the other thing. If you've signed your confidentiality agreement and gotten your money, shut the fuck up about it. Don't bring it up. You're a fucking tool either way.
And what kind of confidentiality agreement is if there's a pedophile?
Well, you can break it, but then you would have to give him back money.
Right, because there's because you could say there's no criminal act.
Right.
Yahoo News, I think, when they had a hot, like, because I get some of my news through Yahoo News, like the main, like, six stories when you sign an IM. But what they had that, like, clip, they had, like, the headline, and they had him, and they had a picture of Michael Jackson.
Right.
And so I realize now they just did, I assumed the whole time it was Michael Jackson until just now. Obviously, they did that just to try to, like, get you to look, but I really assumed it was Michael Jackson.
Oh, speaking of Michael Jackson, they're having a big Michael Jackson tribute concert or tour or something?
It's like Circus, literally, it's like Cirque du Soleil meets Michael Jackson.
And they have just booted my favorite rock band, Kiss, off of the tour. They said...
Was going to be on it?
I know, Kiss was going to be on it. Michael Jackson liked Kiss. There's something Michael Jackson and I had in common. Michael Jackson liked Kiss, but they were kicked off. The estate said, we do not want Kiss here because Gene Simmons basically came out and said, oh yeah, he most likely molested kids. So, shockingly enough, they didn't want them on.
They're just anti-Semitic.
Who booked them to begin with? I mean, one of these things is not like the other. Going back to Sesame Street,
but it must be selling really well because they added another night here.
Well,
Power Bounce Pavilion.
Well, of course it sells well. Michael Jackson dying was the best thing for his career because no one was buying anything before he did, and now suddenly people cannot get enough. And I know part of it's nostalgia and part of it's this, but I mean, settle down. Great artist, fabulous singer, songwriter, the whole thing. Let's just settle down for a moment with Michael Jackson.
True or false, in kindergarten, no, first grade, Mr. Riptide Neighbor made me a sequined glove for one hand.
True.
It was the best Christmas ever.
And our last cooler tool is the hacker group that's going to wage an international war on BART, or claim they were.
Man, this is tricky. I applaud the fact they're taking to the... I'm going to go cool. I don't know if I agree with everything that they do, but I like the fact of people... I like the fact, especially because I like what they do with corporate America. I like the fact of people holding people accountable.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. I don't know that I agree necessarily with everything, but I think that somebody's got to be the voice and somebody's got to speak up and fight back, and if that's what it takes sometimes to make change or affect our world, then I'm all for it. And I think somebody has to do the protest, and sometimes you got to ruffle a few feathers.
What are they trying to fix? Is your understanding that they're trying to fix?
Actually, this is funny because I sent you an email
and I read that,
and this was very funny because the thing was originally. My understanding was there was an uproar over a shooting that happened.
It was a homeless guy who threw a bottle at a BART cop and had a knife in his hand.
Well, see, that was the thing, was I heard they were upset, but I couldn't find any details over what happened. And so I thought, gosh, somebody got shot. It must have been like, oh, it was a teenager and they thought, or a child, and they thought it was someone else, and they were confused, and there was an accidental shooting. And then when I read it, it was this guy that was drunk and out of control and threw a bottle and then went after them with a knife. And I thought, what were people so angry about exactly? The cops were reacting because they were being threatened by a guy coming at them with a knife. So that part, and the funny thing was, I was researching it and I sent you the article I found, because the first article that came up, I did not look at where it was from.
Which you should always do.
Right? It was the top one, so I just clicked on it and I started reading it, and it was like, I mean, Becca's basically a journalist, so I mean,
basically.
I mean, Becca is a journalist, so she talks about her work, and I understand, like, your job is to report and to be fairly impartial in getting all the facts on a case and making an article that explains the details of what happened. And I'm reading this article and wondering, like, what news media outlet, like, put this out, because it was like, the most skewed article. It was like, this poor, helpless guy taken out of the prime of his life, doing nothing but harmlessly standing on a platform and struck down by these demons of hell called the bar. I was like, who wrote this? But then I realized it was like a total agenda paper that was like basically a blog that's some, you know, activist group that was all for apparently drunk homeless people rights.
Wasn't the headline of the article, Bart cops keep assassinating people? Executing people.
Yeah.
Seriously, I saw the headline and I'm like, oh God.
It was one of those moments of, I was so confused. Like, I read the first like three paragraphs and I'm like, what is this?
We'll put it up on show extras for anybody who wants to go in and read. Really,
it was a funny article. And you know who, if you go on there and go to the Nate Darling Show page and you read the article, go into it with like a blank mind, as if you feel like you're opening like a major newspaper, and think as if you are thinking that is what you're looking at.
That's like when newspapers from like other countries use The Onion and think it's a real source, so they report stories about. Like,
oh, my favorite is when Republican congressmen do it.
Yes,
that's the best, because it's like, really, you don't know.
Can I say something really quickly? Okay, Michelle Bachmann is bing bat crazy. Like, I think she's crazy.
Yes.
But why is the fact that she got Elvis Presley's birthday wrong, why is that news? Well, like, at a certain point, I know she's crazy.
I know the answer to this.
I think she's crazy. Like, really? Let's not, ugh.
Well, first of all, she proclaims herself to be a huge Elvis fan. Second of all, she wants to be president of the United States. And third of all, today is Elvis Death Day. The day that we record this.
I didn't know that's kind
yes.
of funny.
It's not his funny, birthday. Sorry, his birthday's in January. No. Today is the 34th anniversary of Elvis passing away.
Just, and the straw polls are crazy for me, because do you know in order to participate you have to pay?
It's like going to a festival.
Yeah.
And fun fact, do you know who won it in like 15 years ago? Pat Robertson. Crazy guy. Remember who blamed 9/11 on the gays and those who are pro-choice? Now, regardless of your stance on those issues, and he was saying that like the day of.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Pat's nutty as squirrel turds.
We should get Pat to be a guest here.
Yeah, well,
I'm sick that day.
I don't think he'll come into this heathen house. Becca, the internet hacker group, Cooler Tool.
Oh my gosh.
It's tough, right?
It is tough. It is tough because I have also seen Keith's, you know, free speech.
Yeah, he's
Facebook statuses. He's been adamant about this, and I definitely support free speech. But have I come out Cooler Tool on any of these? I feel like everyone. I'm like, well, I kind of see both.
Well,
sides.
And here's the thing about
my first week guesting. That's how I felt like I was
really?
Trying to be like,
we need something
and
in
now
between.
Now I just hit it.
Well, the thing about you is you are one of the nicest people I've ever
it
met.
Is true.
That
seriously.
Is true.
And that does not really. Really necessarily work that well for Cooler Tool, because you have to go to one polar side or another.
This is the only segment you have, and I'm failing. I'm sorry.
You're not failing.
No, you're totally.
We can invent a new one.
On a funny,
called, let's be nice. And
on
I'll
a funny side note, we all know that Becca is the nicest human we've ever met. I've never seen her raise her voice or get angry. She's always so nice and polite.
It happens
but
sometimes.
Yesterday, she mentioned that someone had mentioned to her that they need to discuss her anger issues, and it was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
You have anger issues? Like what? You gave someone like two hugs instead of three?
I don't know if I can really talk
I'm
about
keeping
that.
It very yeah, generic. That's
yeah, true. Very generic. But yes, I did in fact get sort of reprimanded for an angry outburst that I had last week, and I'm going to chalk it up to jet lag.
Okay.
We'll just say that. I was sleeping almost not at all for like a week. Ugh, and that affects my nice level.
That's fair. So you're not like nice like 99.9% of the time, and then just one thing sort of sets off the violent outrageous
thing. Oh yeah, the mask
thing.
Slips and it's just no. I'm just kidding. It's really
Would
not.
That be amazing? Like if it was a secret word and you just said it and like flipped a switch like that.
Like an attack dog?
Yes. Unicorn. I feel like I should tell people that like you've been hypnotized, so there's a secret word you have. So people just try to say the most random words in front of you, like elbow.
And then Becca just bites your face off.
All right, we've lost control here.
No, I'm sorry. She still did not provide an answer.
I know. That's where we're going here. I need a cooler
about
tool.
About the Bart?
The hacker group.
The hacker group.
You don't have to give a reason. You can just go one way or the other.
You know, I'm going to go with Tool.
Old choice.
And leave it at that.
And I'm going to go with you on that. And And here's why I'm going to go on that. If the protests were over, and you know, you can judge protests one way or another, and I'm not going to do that. I was going to, but now I'm not. Basically, it's sort of Bart's purview to turn off cell towers in there. The union of the transit workers is upset about it, and I understand that because they weren't told. So to suddenly realize you don't have cell service and you're working,
that's scary.
But a hacker, you know, the group calls it, their name is Anonymous. So it's kind of a nutless wonder move to pull that anyway. So I'm going to go Tool, and with that, we're going to wrap up the segment.
We shouldn't piss off Anonymous. They could mute our show.
Oh, no. Oh, no. They're going to come for us.
I just think you have to remember that there's a lot of people that protest things that I think are ridiculous and stupid.
Right.
But I totally support their right to protest those things.
They're out in front of the Capitol every day.
Yep.
Every day.
It's somebody different out in front of the Capitol every day.
On Sunday, there were people. I'm not joking. There were three people protesting anti-war. But I really think that they were just there. I don't think they really knew anything about war because they didn't really have a stance on anything. It was interesting.
The war in Alabama.
They just wanted to kill a Sunday. They're bored people who needed to kill a Sunday.
They were in pep squad in high school and just really like making posters.
And when I first moved here, because I'm from Vermont, and nobody really protests very much there.
What's there to protest in Vermont?
Occasionally there will be...
Maple syrup.
No, the Vermont Yankee Nuclear Power Plant. Is the most popular thing to protest in the state of Vermont. But that is so far down in the corner near New Hampshire and Massachusetts that most of us don't pay any attention to
Mostly
it.
Their problem.
Well, it's not really a problem most of the time. So it's that tends to be the major thing that people protest. But it's normally too cold to go out and protest in Vermont, and people have other things to do.
Eat cheese.
No, work. People actually work there. It's crazy, I know.
See, in Ohio, there's a huge, not too far out of where I live, there's a huge Klan compound.
Shocking.
Oh, no, yeah, totally. It's in between, like on the way to Wilmington.
Yeah, so that was always sort of the protest. They always had issues about if there could be, the Klan could have a Christmas rally, just like they light the menorah and the Christmas tree down in Fountain Square. They wanted to have a Klan rally because it was free speech.
So they could light the cross down
in
town
exactly.
square?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know, I like to always have a fun Sacramento fact because I feel like Sacramento needs self-esteem. Do you know what one of the cool things about Sacramento is?
No.
We're the only, and I don't know what they're, because it covered more than just a city. We're the only geographic area in the entire world that shut down a nuclear power plant by popular vote. Because there was a nuclear power plant that Smudring and it's now a park.
Mm-hmm.
And people, it was put on the initiative, it was put on the ballot and we closed it down.
Sacramento. And Sacramento had a segment on each episode of Cops this past week. So there you go.
I saw that. I mean, I don't watch. Yes, I love Cops. I'm admitting it.
Ooh, I know.
And Sacramento is home to the 7th busiest Amtrak station in the country.
Okay.
Nice.
Thanks, Larry.
As a former cop, when you watch Cops, it doesn't seem sensationalized to you? Or, I mean, is that pretty? Do they play it up for the cameras? I don't watch Cops, so I'm just curious.
You know, I think some of it is, I mean, obviously I think they edit it and take the most exciting moments. So I will say the Sacramento ones tend to be pretty boring.
Yeah.
I don't think they really sensationalize it because these are people doing their jobs. And if they got too over the top or crazy, it would actually affect their work. So I think they try to play it maybe almost too cool rather than sensationalize. I think it's fairly accurate. I mean, it's the original reality show.
But did you... When you were a cop, did you enjoy watching Cops, or is it only like a nostalgia?
No, I have always been a huge fan of Cops.
Oh, okay.
The cops used to watch Cops when I was a cop.
Really?
Yes.
It's so weird to think like you do your job and then you go home and you're like, oh, yeah, and you just watch someone else doing your job.
I mean, I also watch Touched by an Angel every day just to feel my sensitive side, but then I'd go home and watch Cops.
That show was so good.
Yeah.
Do you think whores go home and watch Jersey Shore to go, it's another day at work?
Do you know what is going to be a reality show? This is 100% serious.
I know what you're going to say.
The California DMV.
Yep.
They're having a reality show.
What?
Filming the workers of California DMV.
Well, that's
offices.
Already like the Parking Wars one where they show people trying to get their cars for hours and hours out of impound
but
lots.
But that one's I like it because at least they show like, I know that's not the right word, but meter maids and like, I like that part. What are they going to do? Literally, next, your registration's invalid.
Can I say over the last few weeks, I caught episodes both of the Heidi Fleiss reality show and Roseanne's Nuts.
I'm sorry.
Fascinating.
You really...
Wow.
I just want to be able to report on these things, so I'm calling it research.
Okay.
Oh, that's smart.
See, what's amazing is you're out of the house like most nights of the week, and yet still you found time for that.
I don't sleep.
You record. Do you record TV?
I thought you said something about porn. I'm like, yeah, I don't think there's any porn reality show that I see. I record, yes, I record Hell's Kitchen. And I record...
Project Runway?
No, all the Glee and the Glee Project.
Okay, well, I'm going to cut this off so that we can actually talk to Becca about what we brought her here for. Because we've been rambling on in our normal way. Becca is just back from a trip to India.
Hence the aforementioned jet lag.
There you go. Tell everybody, first of all, I got some questions about traveling to India.
Already?
How long is the flight from here to India?
Well, if you do it the way I do it, which is like the most budget way possible, like I start with Southwest to get to New York and then, you know, kind of from there, it takes 2 entire days.
Wow.
Because I took 5 flights to get there, 7 flights to get back. There's layovers, like... I was trying to get it as cheap as possible. My combined tickets were $1,800 round trip.
That's pretty good.
Wow, it was pretty really good. But you pay in time. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So it's 2 full days of travel. So you get to India. And what is the first thing you do when you get there other than kiss the ground?
The first thing I did when I got there was get a masala dosa at the airport because they are delicious and they're not so easy to find here. There are some places that make them, but even an airport masala dosa is a delicious masala dosa. So,
and if you guys have questions, you can jump in too. I'm not doing a one-on-one interview here.
I think people are probably wondering what a masala dosa is.
Okay, so a masala dosa is it's like a big crepe. Kind of, that they roll up like a really long burrito, and it's mostly empty, but right in the middle, they put a big, like, scoop of, like, spicy potatoes and onions and everything, and then they serve it with, like, sambar, which is kind of like a hot, spicy red soup, and a coconut chutney, so you have, like, a cool thing and a hot thing to dip your masala dosa in, and it's delicious, and it's, like, really common snack food in India. Like, you can find it a lot of places.
And the corn. Tell about the corn that you told me about. That sounded awesome.
This is the culinary trip to India. Yes. So this time when I was in India, I was in Kashmir in the north. And they were really big in the capital city of Srinagar. They were really big on corn on the cob. And they had these corn vendors that were just everywhere. And they would just be like sitting on the ground with an open fire that they built on the ground and sort of keeping the coals going all day. And then a huge pile of corn. And you just walk up and grab an ear of corn and they would husk it for you. And they drop it right on the coals until it gets kind of Cajun style blackened, you know.
Ooh, that's fun.
And then they have a plate of salt and lemons and they hack a lemon open and you squeeze it, dip it in the salt and then like salt and lemon your corn and just stand there and eat it by the side of the road. So I ate corn on the cob every day that I was in Srinagar and I had like perpetual corn in my teeth like my whole entire trip, but it was great.
That sounds delicious.
It was delicious.
Now, I have a very limited knowledge of India, most of it coming from the show An Idiot Abroad, which is Ricky Gervais sent his podcast engineer off on different trips to places because he's a guy who hates to travel. And he sent him to India, and one of the things he said, and this just may be where they sent him, there were a lot of like yogis that he went to see. Do you see any weird yogi activity?
You know, not a terrible amount in Kashmir, or at least in Srinagar. Kashmir has a lot of different parts to it. 3 different countries are fighting over it, and I mean it's a complex area of the world. But the city that I was in, Srinagar, is a Muslim majority city in India's only Muslim majority state. So it was really lots of mosques and imams, but not so much of like the yogi gurus that you would think of in Hindu India that are other places, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. And it was actually Ramadan started while I was there. And then I felt kind of bad because I was like, entertain me, but you can't eat, but I'm hungry, you know? And like, and so that was a little awkward. Luckily I was only there for like 1 or 2 days of Ramadan. And cause I felt bad, you know, they'd be like, like making me tea, like the family I was staying with, like making me tea and snacks and then just sort of like, yeah, like watching me, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I don't know.
I realized how long ago I was in India when, what was that? That movie came out.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah. Slumdog Millionaire. Mm-hmm. Cause I spent 4 months there in 97 and I joke to this day that I see more people doing yoga on my block in the morning when I leave for work than you do in all of India, which really deflates people because I think a lot of people here have this romanticized view that everyone in India does yoga
they do,
on the street.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, and the only people I actually saw doing yoga in India were white
foreigners,
people at a,
yeah.
at a very expensive ashram where like these Indian people are like, who the fuck do they think they're – we don't do yoga. Sure, I'll teach you something. But it's really – but I really think people have this notion
yeah.
that in India, everyone does yoga and they're very – like, yeah. No, like there's more yoga studios literally in like three blocks around my house and they're probably in all of India.
I just imagine now like somebody telling some American like, this is a move, and then showing them like how to do like the robot, and then everybody's laughing and clapping.
Probably true.
So – You mentioned this time in India, so you've been before.
I have. This was my second time. The first time I lived there for 6 months, and this time I was only there for 1 month. But it was a completely different part of India I went to the first time. So it was kind of like two different countries almost.
Sure. So what is the draw for you in terms of going to India? What makes you go, that's where I want to go?
Well, the first time I went, it was sort of a... Well, I'd always wanted to just live in another country for an extended period of time, and I had just left a job, and I had savings, and it just seemed like the time to go travel. And this sounds like super, super corny and like eat, pray, love, but I was actually in this sort of like meditation class thing where the purpose – it was like a workshop, and the purpose was to like figure out what God's purpose is for your life, you know, through guided meditation or whatever. And I just sort of signed up for this thing on a whim because I just left my job, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'll go to this thing. And while I was in there, it was like you meditated and then you took notes and then you meditated and you took notes. And all the notes I took, it was a 3-week class. My brain was just like, go to India, go for 6 months, get rid of everything in your apartment, like just go,
Julia
go,
Julia Roberts in that movie.
I know, it's totally cheesy. It's totally cheesy. And, but that's what happened. And I've never been like, I've never had that like romantic, like yoga fascination with India. I was like, India, really? Like I was looking at my notepad like, well, okay. Like I had always wanted to go to Greece, but it was like so clear. And so I was sort of like, well, I asked for guidance and this is what I got. So why not? So I went for 6 months and I had an amazing time. And it's a very, once you get there, it's a very affordable country and it's fascinating. And I'm vegetarian and it's very mm-hmm. easy to eat there. And English is widely spoken there. And I was able to live on the beach for like, you know, a few dollars a day. And it was just wonderful.
Did you go to Goa?
I did.
Oh, nice.
I did. Yeah, I stayed in Goa for like on and off throughout my 6 month trip there. And then while I was there, I made wonderful Indian friends. So this time the draw was going to visit my Indian friends.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because you said that the friends you had, they stay in the south part of the year and then they go to the north
yes,
part of the year.
Because they're from Kashmir, which is up near the Himalayas. And it is the winters there are like terrible, just like snow up to your eyeballs. And you know, they like the schools close and everything kind of closes and everyone just sort of tries to stay warm for the winter. And so they decided, why don't we move to Goa, which is where the tourist beaches are in India. It's beautiful. It's in the south. And so in the winter, when the weather sucks, they go to Goa and they have jewelry shops right on the beach and they sell to the tourists. And then they pack up when the monsoon hits Goa in the summer, they go home to Kashmir. So they're always missing the crappy weather.
So yeah. So Goa is like the Florida of India.
Yeah, they're like snowbirds.
Exactly.
It's almost like the Southern California of India. Yeah, because it's a little hipper. I don't know. It's good.
There's a lot of Europeans that go there.
There are a lot of Europeans and Israelis. Not as many Americans. I was there on Halloween, and I was like, any other Americans care about Halloween? Like, no, you know.
just a bunch of Israelis and Europeans and their Speedos. Hanging out on the beach?
A little bit of Speedos, but it's more the – I was staying in Erembil, which is more of like – it's more hippie vibe.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a lot of dreadlocks. It's a lot of
– lot of dreadlocks, exactly. And
a lot of people listening to Fish.
Like we're on our gap year, young students, you know, kind of thing. So. Yeah. But if you go down to the – Goa also has really posh beaches, and that's where the Speedos are, you know.
Now, being in – sorry to cut you off, Mel – being in India, a couple of the things that have gone on there in the past couple of years, there have been a couple of big bombings.
Yes.
What's did you get any sort of sense of what the people who live there are feeling like day to day with that sort of thing happening in their country?
Well, it's interesting because I've never, thank God, I've never been at like ground zero for any one of those things. You know, like I was not when I was there, the big Thanksgiving Mumbai attacks happened while I was living in India, but I was in Goa at the time, which was like several kilometers or hundreds of kilometers away. So that was fine for me. I mean, I'm sorry for everybody else.
Right.
But in general, I mean, my friends, you know, especially my best friends there are from Kashmir, which is, you know, in the 90s, Bill Clinton said that was the most dangerous place on earth. It's one of the most heavily militarized places on earth, because Pakistan and India are in a constant land dispute over it. And my friends grew up with, you know, real military violence, and it affected their education and the safety of their family. And they are so calm about all of that. You know, like, I feel like here it's like if I get in a fender bender, like my month is ruined, you know. And in general, everyone is just like, nobody thinks it's a good thing. They all wish it would stop. But there's a real... I don't know what I'm trying to say. Nope. I feel like it's hard to speak for like a country of 1.1 billion people, yeah. You know? Yeah.
I think that's part of it. I think there's a sense of what's the right word I'm looking for? Like when you drop a little drop in the ocean, like not disillusion, but what's the word?
Displacement?
Yeah, it's kind of like displacement. There's another word. I can't think of it. But like it's hard to – something that was like – I didn't understand about India until I was there. It was like – the magnitude of the amount of people that are there.
It's incredible.
And their relation and their understanding of physical space is just so dramatically different and outside of us. I feel like it's much easier to see things in India as like so far removed, even when it's not, because there's so many people. It's like, it's diluted. It's like diluted. Not that people obviously aren't happy about it. When I was there and oh my God, there was both of them had nuclear weapons up there and they're always like, bad. Like, I feel like people just feel a sense of, like...
Do you think people get really desensitized bad. Because they're living in that kind of environment all the time? And it's like, I'm either going to blow up or I'm not. But, I mean, after a while, it's like you have to live and you have to have a family and have a life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that people feel like they're going to blow up at any moment or whatever. But there's just a real... Almost everybody who I'm friends with just sort of has a disdain for politics, wishes everyone would get along, but the real focus of life, yeah, is on family. Like, family is the most important, and your friends, and there's a real just, like, right now everything is good, you know, kind of perspective. And I feel like when I'm over there, I realize how much, as an American, I feel like I'm entitled to. I want my day to go just like this, and I want everyone to react like this, and, you know, I don't know. I feel really just kind of spoiled and petty when I get over there. Like, the things I consider problems are not problems.
I demand that my cell phone work in Bart or I'm going to protest.
Exactly.
I want to know how much henna you got.
Ooh, I got henna twice on my, like, hands and forearms and feet. And because I was at a wedding there, one of my friend's sisters got married, and it was one of those, like, seven-day Indian wedding events, you know, that they're just epic. I mean, the Indians do weddings on a scale that no one else in the world does. And, you know, one of the traditions is that the bride and then whichever other female friends and relatives want to get painted in henna for the wedding. And so I got painted at the wedding and I loved it so much. And I kept saying, I wish it would stay until I go home, that my friends made me an appointment the night before I left and I got it done again. And I still have just a little bit, but you can't tell on the podcast.
Now, I know that I got henna done once here. I don't know if it's different or if the product's better or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I know when I got henna done, it made a mess.
Ooh.
Because it was like peely off and making a mess for like everywhere. My car was full of it because my whole back was done and my shoulders and stuff.
Wow, fancy.
And it was like, I mean, a mess.
Well, there's a process. Like, you let it dry, and then you have to scrape it off. And I would, like, go outside and, like, scrape it off, you know?
Yeah, maybe they leave that part out here when they do henna.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, there's definitely a point when you're like, okay, I'm dry now. And then you have to, like, you know, get it off of you. And that is messy. Yeah.
So to sort of change the subject from our serious discussion, what was the most fun thing
about
the trip?
One of the most fun things that I did, really fell in love with, there's a huge lake in Srinagar called Dal Lake, and they have these things called taxi shikaras, which are like these yellow boats. They're essentially like a couch in a boat with someone to like paddle you, you know? So like, and they have a canopy over the top, and you know, for maybe... probably $2 to $3 an hour, you know, you can go riding on one of these, and they have floating lotus gardens on the lake. And so they will paddle you out there, and you're just like in this sea of like lily pads and dragonflies and lotus flowers. And then, like, out of nowhere, this other, like, Shakara will come up next to you and it'll be, like, some merchant with, like, chips and soda. And he's like, hey, do you want potato chips? And you're like, yes, you know? And you pass a little money over and then you have potato chips in the middle of a lotus garden, you know? So that was fantastic.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I loved it.
Can I ask what you did not like about India?
The thing that... Okay. It's funny. One thing I do not like about India is that the concept of waiting in line does not really exist there. And I'm so trained to wait in line for things that it's really hard for me. Like, I just get this, like, innate offendedness if someone cuts in front of me, which will always happen because they're just looking at me like, why are you standing back there, dummy? Like, go up to the counter, you know? And
Hold on. So you're supposed to rush the counter like you're trying to get to the front of a Poison concert.
Yes. Everybody rushes, and the poor, like, being in customer service in India, I don't know how they do it. Like a clerk at a store or something, everyone's just like, me, 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 me. And you just sort of want, it's like at a bar, maybe, on a Saturday night kind of thing. Totally. That's kind of how it is. But I had this one experience when I was at this place called Gulmarg, which is a ski resort in the winter. And in the summer, it's just like they have like fields of daisies and you can go hiking, and they have this gondola that will take you, like, up the Himalayan mountains, you know, and then you can spend the day kind of higher than you would care to hike if you're lazy like me. And so we went to the top, and then it was, you know, we had this wonderful day, and then it was time to come back and get back on the gondola. And there was no way not to do a line, because there were, like, 200 people that needed to get on this gondola before, like, 4:30 when it stops running. So there's a huge line, and most people are buying into the concept of the line, which is cool, you know. I'm like, hey, this is happening. But enough people were not buying into the concept of the line that it's like me, 180 people back. I just keep watching, you know, four or five people at a time kind of like sneaking up to the front and getting on the gondola. And I'm not moving forward at all, you know. And like, as somebody, this is maybe what I'm talking about that American sense of entitlement. Like, my head is going to explode, you know, like, what am I in? And I'm in this, like, beautiful Himalayan scenery, but I'm like, people aren't following the rules of the line, you know?
At my college, they had one cafeteria. We had, like, multiple cafeterias, but they had one cafeteria where they tried that technique, that there was no line in the cafeteria. You just went up, chaos. Got what you wanted, and it was chaos, and they had to stop it after a period of time because we could not deal with it. Nobody liked it because everyone got crazy because we're so trained to stand in line.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So
on the buses that we were on, some of them, if you paid first class, which was not really first class, but they'd also call it Q class because you actually had to line up. There were the other buses. That's a concept that just didn't exist. So I always thought it was funny that we were in Q class. And so, like, that's how they say get in line, like, queue up.
Yeah.
And so I remember thinking, like, ooh, we're fancy. We like to wait in line.
Yeah, I don't deal with
and
chaos.
And not bribe everybody to get anything done.
I don't know if anybody watched that show Outsourced, which has now been canceled, but the show about India. But they had an episode where all the characters were going to go on this train trip. And it's, like, this American manager and his, like, Indian call center. And every time the train would come, they'd be like, okay, get on the train. And they'd all, like, run and get on the train. And he would be like, stuck, and then they'd all have to get off the train because he couldn't make it in time, and it took like 8 trains for the American to get on the train, and that's kind of what happens to me there.
Oh, see now, anybody who hasn't been there would not get that joke, and I think that's probably why the show's been canceled.
I loved
that show was
but,
really good, and they dealt with things. They dealt with what sounded like, I'll be honest, when I first heard of it, I thought it was like a horrifically racist. Like,
me too,
this is
but it
not
was good.
Be good. But they dealt with so many things really well, and I love the fact that there was a show that was predominantly South Asian, like. How nice if I was a South Asian actor to, like, have
all right,
a chance.
Well, can you tell the Jesus story? Is that appropriate?
Oh, I can. Nate is our
I'm gonna go ahead and notify the affiliates that we're going to go a little bit long.
Nice.
Not as long as we did on that one show, but we're going to go a little long. So, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so here's something about Jesus that may or may not be true. So according to my Lonely Planet guidebook, there's this tomb in Srinagar, the city that I was in, where they, if you subscribe to the theory that Jesus did not die in the crucifixion, but that his death was somehow faked and then he escaped to the east and lived to be an old man, and apparently there are books about this. This is some kind of unorthodox theory that's out there. If you believe that, they believe that his tomb is in this city where I was staying in Srinagar. And it was in my Lonely Planet guidebook, like, Jesus in India? There's this, like, mysterious building and you should go check it out. And so I was asking my friends, like, you know, hey, let's go to this. It's called Rosabal Tomb. And I was like, let's go to this thing. And they were all just like, what? Like, they never heard of it, you know? And but I had the address, so we went there, and it's like this building with an iron gate around it, and it's in a huge padlock, and you're not allowed to go in, but there's a sign out front that has a quote from the Quran that says that Jesus didn't die. Apparently that's actually in the Quran. And so they have a huge painted sign out front that says that. And then it's like this locked building. And there were these teenagers just loitering around outside. And there's signs everywhere. They're like, no photos, no photos. And I'm like, oh, I want a photo. And these teenagers were like, no photos, lady. And I was like, ah, I'm being schooled by teenagers, but okay. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to like do a little recon and go around the sides and see what I can see. And so I like went into the alley and I was like peering in the windows, and you can actually see inside the building just a little bit through the windows. And it was like a completely empty building except for one coffin that was just draped in this like black velvet with like Urdu script all over it in sparkly gold. And that was it. Like that was all that was in that building. And so, you know, and I couldn't take a picture of it, but I was like, is that really Jesus? If it's not Jesus, who is it? Like, why do they have this like secret building that
they don't
let
anybody know about that?
Yeah. And then I got back in the car and I was tripping out and I was like telling my friends, like, you know, Jesus, like they're all Muslim, but I was like, Jesus, he's, you know, he's the prophet of Christianity. And like, what if he, and they were all just like, all right, let's go get ice cream. You know, they were just like not impressed at all. And my mind was kind of blown.
That's fair. Oh, and speaking of going to get ice cream, I have a question about, and this is the last India question. Who works at an Indian convenience store? Because I'm really confused. Because I go to a convenience store here. It's not racist.
White people, actually. A whole bunch of hippies move over there.
That's what I was wondering, because I think that would be awesome, because if you walk around the neighborhood where I live, virtually every convenience store is owned by Indians or Pakistanis. People from that region of the world.
Sri Lankans do, because Indians look down on Sri Lankans.
So that was my question. When you walk into an Indian convenience store, who do you see?
Well, they don't really have convenience stores in the same way that we do, but there definitely are lots of little stalls that sell chips and sodas and things, and they are run by Indians.
Did you have Knockout Beer?
No.
My favorite kind of beer. It's called Knockout Beer, and it's literally the like image of him is a guy knocking another guy out in the face underneath. It's like, beer so strong, it'll knock you out.
Wow. No, because I was in a Muslim-majority city during Ramadan.
Hey, where can I get a good cocktail around here?
Seriously, if they stock that over here, the hobos that go in at 8:30 every morning to buy their malt liquor would definitely stock up on that.
But I was telling Mel the other night that one interesting fact about Kashmir is that marijuana grows wild everywhere.
Like hedges,
it's like by the sides of the road, just tons of it. But it's still illegal. So it's everywhere, but don't touch it.
Okay, hold on. Jason Casey, sit back down on your couch.
And
relax.
He's like Googling like Travelocity.
Can I like drive there?
Jason listens to the show too. So hi, Jason.
He'll never get back out of the country. He'll get there and they'll stop him at the airport. His backpack's just gonna be stuffed with plants.
Why would he need to leave? It's all right
there. Yeah,
that's true. speaking of marijuana, Sunday night I walked down to Buckhorn for dinner, and then we made a loop back to the apartment afterward, the post-dinner walk. And so we walked down to 21st Street, and we're walking down, and we walk past the Green Door, which is a medical marijuana dispensary. And some guy walked out, and then we walked by after the door had closed, and I swear to God, I have not smelt that much pot. The smell of pot so strong, it was like being at a Poison concert in the 80s. Huh. It was like, I have a contact high now. I felt a little dizzy afterward.
I like that now in California they're starting to have TV advertisements for medical marijuana.
They are, really?
It's like two old guys on a boat, and then one guy's like, yeah, my back hurts. He's like, well, do you know what would help with that? Go to Lifestyle Fit Lifestyle Solutions. Really? That works? Yeah, I've got my card right here. It's just so like...
Is it really any worse than the old couple in the bathtubs for the Cialis?
A little bit.
No, it's
not. I just think it's funny that like we call it medical marijuana, and then like people go into these places and like they trust the judgment of some guy that's just there to work so he can get free weed, and they're like, yeah, this is really good for your back. Yeah, I think it's like helps your toes.
You know a lot about the medical marijuana places. Have you done some scouting?
I've never been. One of the times I was at the doctor because of my eye thing, they asked if I wanted a prescription, and I was just like, no, thank you.
Because we can give you one. I mean, whatever you want. Kaiser, I mean, Kaiser. Awesome. That was not the Kaiser nurse I got.
They don't call it a prescription. I forget exactly what they call it.
like a recommendation or something. Yeah, something.
I was like,
interesting.
I highly encourage you to let this person buy weed.
one more quick thing for Becca, our guest. Mel mentioned that you are a journalist. One of my favorite stories that you wrote was the having sex outdoors in Sacramento story.
Ah, yes, for our summer guide this year.
Yeah, that was very good.
Thank you. I interviewed many of my friends for that. It was kind of a fun thing to report because it would sort of be like, who? Oh. It would sort of be like, who's got a good story? And, like, people love to tell you their outdoor sex stories. Like, they are not shy about it. I guess it makes sense. If you're going to have sex
exactly,
outside,
right?
You're not going to be shy about it. Yeah. So I got, like, all kinds of, like, wacky stories from my friends.
That's not – Mel, what's that smile for?
I'm one of her friends.
I wasn't sure if she wanted – yes, if you go to the newsreview.com archives and you look up Becca Costello's story about sex in the great outdoors – everyone in the story is anonymous, and you can guess which anecdote might be Mel's.
Awesome. That
we
sounds like
fun. We should have, like, a dinner party. It's like murder mystery theater, but, like, you give the article out and have, like, half the people be people, and you have to guess which one it is.
Yes, and someone else that we've also name-dropped on this show is in the article as well.
I can take a guess of who that is.
Mm. Who do you think it might be?
I think I don't want to say it, because if it's not, I don't want to be wrong.
Oh.
That's okay. Well, people can play the guessing game for those
yes.
who don't know. But
ooh, email if you have a guess.
Yeah, so we're reaching the end of our show. Before we go, I want to give some plugs out for, first of all, one of our sponsors, actually our only sponsor, Huge Entertainment.
It's H-U-G.
Huge.
Huge Entertainment. Yay. They offer music entertainment designed for weddings, corporate events, school dances, parties, social celebrations throughout Northern California, Nevada, including Sacramento, Lake Tahoe, Reno, and the San Francisco Bay Area.
Is it possible to have an unsocial celebration?
Yes. You have a big party people. And everybody sort of leans. It was pretty much every junior high dance.
Right.
Because everybody's
I
on the walls.
Junior. No, I loved you. I was a shocker. I was always inside with the girls dancing.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, most every junior, I don't know how it is now. Apparently, I guess now they're fornicating in the middle
probably
of the floor.
Sex so they can be on 16 and pregnant.
But exactly. They want to get on MTV. But when I was in junior high, it was the boys on one side and the girls on the other. And there was a lot of looking down at the floor.
Yeah.
Because no one was really sure what to do about anything. And now they have the internet, so they can do things like Google Blue Waffle. By the way, don't Google Blue Waffle if you're easily disturbed. But if you've got a stomach of stone and are curious about weird things...
I don't know what that is.
Go home and Google it then, Larry.
I feel like I shan't.
You need to do it on your phone right now.
I don't want to look.
I
know what it is, but I have purposely never actually looked at the image, and I don't want to.
Is it like the cups and the girls thing?
No.
Dude, that was so much worse than what I thought it was. I literally was disturbed for like 2 days. Did you ever see the girls in the cup thing?
No, that's another one that I know what it is, but I did not watch it.
No, and
that
I don't even want to watch people. Foul. I don't even want to watch people watching it.
Yeah,
because that was the big internet meme was posting videos of people being surprised by that video.
No, my favorite was Family Guy when Stewie watched.
Oh
it.
Yeah, that was
that
good.
Was awesome.
That was good. Larry's trying to Google Blue Waffle
I'm
right
not
now.
Looking.
I'm doing it very slow because I don't know if I really want
to
do.
Let me put it to you this way, Larry. If you weren't gay before, this might push you over the edge.
I have to see.
Anyway, people can do that themselves. I want to talk about shows you guys have coming up.
Yes.
This Saturday, if you're listening to the show before the 20th, Saturday the 20th, Lady Business at the Sacramento Comedy Spot, 8
they are
p.m. show.
So funny. Go, 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 go.
They are. It's Becca and Mel. And who else is in the group?
Tiffany Schultz, Mignon Schroeder, Michaela Smith, and us.
Yeah.
That's quite a collection of names.
Yeah.
And I...
He just Googled everyone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm not looking.
Do not. Oh, my God.
I'm not looking.
Okay, that's the reaction to somebody seeing blue...
Googling
blue
God,
waffle.
Oh, God, Mel, be careful.
Yeah, you might be... Here, Mel's seeing it for the first time.
Oh!
I'm not looking.
So that's some fun to have with your friends. It's not safe for work, by the way.
I feel vomity. It's horrible.
I need someone to give me a hug.
Don't you just want to go to every lesbian you know and just show that
no,
to them?
No. Fun fact, if God hates gays, why did he make lesbians the lowest risk group for every STD and STI?
But just he made saying. Them. But why are they so angry?
Scissoring. What do you mean? Because of all the scissoring.
Okay. Anyway, the other plug is for me. Do you have anything? You have any shows coming up, Larry?
Before I will soon, but not right now.
I will be at the Sacramento Comedy Spot on the following Saturday, the 27th, with Brian Yang and John Alston in a show called Heckler's Cinema.
Oh, fun.
That's going to be awesome.
Do you know what the movie is yet?
I don't know what the movie is. Shockingly, Brian hasn't gotten back to me. I asked that question about a week ago. And so I don't know what the movie is going to be. But Heckler's Cinema is three stand-up comics making fun of a movie a la Mystery Science Theater 3000. And the reason I find the name kind of odd because a lot of stand-ups really hate hecklers. So for three stand-ups to be doing some heckling is kind of odd. But that's going to be a 10:30 show at the Sacramento Comedy Spot on the 27th. And this Saturday, the 20th, Lady Business at 8 o'clock. So that's a wrap for what we got tonight. Thank you for coming in, Becca. We appreciate it.
Namaskara. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much for having me. It was super fun.
You're not scarred?
I didn't look at the blue waffle. I'm fine.
Don't.
I'm not going to. I've resisted this long.
And I am one of those people that's so sick and twisted, I might have to go back and look at it in detail because I like roadkill.
I need to erase it. I'm going to help you.
And on that note, that's going to wrap it for this edition of the Nate Darling Show. For our guest, Becca Costello, Larry Mead.
Bye.
And Mel.
Talk to you next week.
I'm Nate. Have a good one. We'll see you next time. Wait. She's never